Today we're talking to actor-producer Jenny Paul, right here on No Rest for the Weekend. Hello and welcome to No Rest for the Weekend, the show where we talk to the creators behind independent film and series. I'm Jason Godby, and with me today in the Rabbit Hole studio is Miss Jenny Paul. Welcome, Jenny.
Hi, how are you?
Doing all right. Not too bad. It's still too cold outside for spring, but...
Yeah, it's time.
God love New York. Thank you for making the schlep to Brooklyn.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So I wanted to get right into it and give the folks at home a little background on you. So Jenny is an actor and a producer. She has produced both short films and web series, I believe. She made the turn from acting into producing, and I want to talk a little bit about that and sort of the need for actors today to self-generate, come up with their own content, and become their own producers. So, without further ado, give us a little bit about your background. Like, what is your origin story, and how did you come to acting and producing?
So, I was born at... No, I'm kidding. So, I'm from Texas originally, and I went to school for pre-med. And during my time at Brandeis is where I went. I was taking theater classes to blow off steam because pre-med was very stressful. And at some point, I called my dad, who was a doctor, who loved doing what he does. And I said, you know, how did you do 12 years of this? I hate it. And he says, well, I liked it. And I went, oh my God, you know, what a revelation. And so I had been taking acting courses for fun, and that I was halfway to a major, and I figured I would kind of keep doing it and doing theater in general until I could figure out what I wanted to do. And I ended up just loving doing that. So I kind of stayed there. Then I moved to New York. I got a job in the show Funny Girl before I moved out to New York, and I moved here to start rehearsals, and I never looked back. So I went from Dallas to Boston to New York, and then maybe 5 years into my acting career, I started picking up producing because it started being the thing to do in order to get seen by bigger casting directors and agents and people in the business. And so now I've been doing both of those things for quite a while.
And what was the first thing that you produced?
The first big thing that I produced that was in the film realm was a series called That Reminds Me. And it's still floating out there in the webiverse. It's called, you know, thatremindsmetheseries.com. And it's basically a sitcom about two sisters and their mom kind of getting into hijinks together.
And that was a web series.
It was a web series.
And with that, what did you find? Because for me, and I've said this to producers before, producing for me is just not fun. Like, I've done it a bunch of times. I've produced every project I've worked on. Basically, I've directed, produced, usually written. And producing is usually the least fun thing. It's one of those jobs that can be very kind of thankless mm-hmm. at the end of the day. How did you find it? Like, was it something that was kind of like a natural inclination to you? Did you kind of take to it like a duck to water? Or was there a transitional period from performer to producer?
Yeah. I guess I think it's a little bit of both. I was always, you know, the person that did the party planning and the club planning in high school and things like that. And I founded this thing at my college called the 24-Hour Musical, you know, as a big project. And so the idea of coming up with some big grand idea and seeing it to fruition was always something that was really attractive to me. The nuts and bolts, the nitty gritty of producing are nuts and bolts. It's what they are, you know, budgets and finding money. And finding money is, for some people, the worst thing ever. And it's up there for me. And budgeting the money and putting the teams together. And there's a certain level of it that I love that, you know, you can kind of put a beautiful team together and really do something special with that group of people on that project. And sometimes it's just stressful. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of like if you're an accountant, you either are really into it or you do it because you have to do it. You know?
Yeah, I've always found it, it's like producing by means of attrition, you know,
<That's right.
laughs> you have to like, and you know, to me, it's like, it's really simple. It's like getting the people and the things in the place that you need it at the time that you need it. And that sounds very simple,
right?
But simple does not equal easy in filmmaking. Was it your purpose? Like, because you started out, you were a musical theater kid, it sounds like. I was too in college. That's how I got started. I got bit by the acting bug and then realized no one was ever going to cast me in anything. So I started writing things for myself and then moved more into writing. That led to directing and so forth. But I do, and a lot of actors today are producers. Every actor in Hollywood has their own production company because they're all realizing that you need to, you know, make your own gold kind of thing. You have to make your own way. Was it like that for you? Was it like, I want to act, so therefore I must create this stuff? Or was it, you know, hey, you know, I have these skills, somebody can hire me as a producer?
No, it was the I want to act and I know how to do this stuff version for sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, what happens is even now that I have a little bit more of a career than I did back when I started producing, the point was, is I was getting little bitty parts and things and, you know, little parts and big things and big parts and little things. And what would happen is somebody would look and go, oh, you're fine, you know, for my one line on this or my two lines on that. But there was no way of sort of showing anybody that I could act, you know, sort of on a bigger scale, because you can't really get people to come out and see New York theater unless they live in New York. And even then, it's a hard thing to do, get people into a house to watch you, you know, work. So this was a really easy way to get my work out there quickly to anybody who wanted to see it for any reason.
And did that lead to other opportunities for you? Did people see you and stuff you had produced and say, and hire you from that?
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think, you know, today, especially with, you know, the means of production being what they are and the availability of the means of production, you're almost crazy not to. But it's hard. And I don't think, you know, people, I've worked with novice actors who become producers, and you know, I know that they had a difficult time of it, and it's a difficult thing to begin with. And it, I think the key for me, and I don't know if you found this as well, was to kind of start small. Mm-hmm. You know, don't try to take on a big production, but you know, because we all bite off more than we can chew at first, and you know, you're like, wait, this is going to cost way too much money. Like, this is going to be a lot of time. And, you know, did you have those experiences yourself?
Yeah, but like the optimistic idiot that I am, I did definitely bite off more than I can chew the first time. And then by the end of the day, when I succeeded at it and we all finished the season of the show that we promised we would do on our Kickstarters and our whatever, I kind of went like, what is wrong with me? Why did I do it that way? And then I kind of look back and I go, okay, film grad school, you know. So that was sort of my, that was sort of my foray. So now, like, when I scale back and it's something smaller, it's like, oh, this is not bad at all.
Yeah, and you don't want to, you know, and you don't want to jump out a window at the end of the day. I mean, I had the same experience, too. I mean, I started way too ambitiously producing and, you know, directing and writing and doing all this stuff together. And, like, you know, it just realize that you're not Orson Welles off the bat and, you know, you're going to have a learning curve. But my first film, and I'll have to do a show on the first film just to show how, like, the embarrassing level of... you know, but it's one of those things where you say, oh, I can do that. And you've seen other things. So it's like, but I think as David Mamet described it, he said that the first time directing a movie is like having seen a medical operation. It's like feeling you can do one.
Oh, you know? Oh boy.
Well, yeah. Like it's the, you do have this need to want to be great right out of the bat, but you know, realize that there's a learning curve. You know, Lazarus with anything else. And I think it's Julia Cameron who wrote the book, The Artist's Way. One of the big takeaways I had from that book was you have to be willing to be bad at something before you can be good at it. And so very few people are willing to be bad.
That's correct.
You know, and, you know, so I'm sure the first thing that you produced, you know, was that was your film school.
Mm-hmm.
And then how did you cope? Later on, did each project short film kind of get easier and better?
Yes. So on the flip side of things getting easier and better, you run out of your, you know, personal resources and your Kickstarter campaigns that you can run for these things. So that part gets harder is finding money that isn't like, you know, homegrown. But on the flip side of that, everything gets easier. I, you know, as much as I, you know, loved everybody that worked on every project, you know, you get to know who's good working with your team, who's not good working with your team, who brings drama, who doesn't, whose aesthetics work for what you're trying to do. And you kind of get to a point where you have a group of people that can kind of speak each other's language shorthand, and then everything becomes easier because it's just a group dynamic of excitement instead of it being like, oh, well, is this person, this, you know, going to throw a diva fit today and I can't do anything about it? And is it going to disrupt what we're going to do? And now I have, you know, if I bring new people onto a project, it's like one or two and it's not the whole team. And I think that's huge.
Yeah. That, I mean, for me, it's, I have a close knit group of people that I work with, and yeah, I mean, I'm very, I don't know if I'm just damaged at this point, but like, I feel like whenever you bring in new people, there is that, you know, but it is really all about the people, especially when you're doing it this level. You know, nobody's getting paid a lot of money if they're getting paid anything at all. And, you know, you have to have people who are willing to make the thing that you want to make. And hopefully everybody's on the same page. And you do build that shorthand with people and you do have that camaraderie so that when the going gets tough, and it always does, you can all hang on to the same raft together. Yeah,
exactly. You know? And you're not afraid somebody's going to dump you off of it because they need something in that moment that's not, you know.
So you use producing and you use filmmaking to build yourself a reel.
Some degree, yeah.
And recently you've appeared in a couple of different popular shows you were on. I actually rewatched the premiere of season 2 of Jessica Jones and saw you.
Rewatched? You must be a good fan. Oh, it's only been a month.
I'm terrible. I'm terrible. I, like, as soon as the things come out, I binge watch. But like, I was like, who is she in this? And then I saw it. I was like, oh, you know.
Right.
And then you also did Looming Tower.
Yes.
Which I have not seen yet. Amazing cast of people.
Oh my God.
So, you know, when you're doing these, and I've talked to other actors, people more experienced, people less experienced. So, as an actor, you're on those shows for like, like a day, right?
Looming Tower, I was a regular. So I was probably on set for 10 to 15, maybe.
What was it easier to be in there more for like a couple of weeks rather than like be a day player on Jessica Jones?
Yes. So there's always this sort of anxiety, panic, excitement, whatever you want to call it, adrenaline coming into a new scenario. And, you know, it's like your first day on the job. And the problem with being a co-star, the kind of person that has 1, 2, 3, 4 lines in a show, is you come into an already established situation and you just try to fit yourself in there and do what you need to do, get out of there without, you know, anybody liking, you causing any trouble. And so it's really, it's like, you know, you're a day jobber and you want to come in and do a good job, but you also like don't want to stir any pots.
Right. The key being not to get yelled at.
Correct. And there's always a reason to get yelled at, even if you're the best at what you do, because you don't know where you're supposed to be. And maybe they haven't communicated that to you and you're just trying to get the job done to the best of your acting ability and your ability to do what they need you to do.
And it moves really fast.
Oh, yes.
Especially with television, right?
Yes.
I mean, they are cooking through scenes.
Everything's rocking. I remember my very first television thing, I had like one line or something, and I couldn't hear the cue from across the room. I physically couldn't hear when to come in to enter the scene. And all of a sudden I'm getting yelled at by the first AD and I'm like, ho, no, you know, and I had already told the second AD that I couldn't hear. So he was trying to figure out a way to, you know, get me that cue. Mm-hmm. And he didn't get it fast enough and I got yelled at. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, some places are like that, some places aren't. But you're just there to sort of do the job and get out with your dignity intact a little bit.
Right. And you have no cred at that point. You are just like,
I'm the rando.
Everybody, yeah. Everybody's been there. And Michael Caine talked about it in his book on acting for film. And, you know, he said the worst thing is, you know, you're there, you're like a one day player and the show's been going or the movie's been going for a while and you get one line and there's like special effects and bombs going off and they give a close up to you and you say, quit, the Germans are crumbing. And, you know, and it's like everything is done. And then they say, well, then you're like, right. Oh my God, I screwed. Can we post sync that?
No,
and they're like,
we didn't
get that. No, we got to do it all over again. We got to reset the beach that just exploded. And and what he said, what I'm sure you found, is preparation is the key for that situation. Just know your lines.
Yes.
Don't trip over the furniture. Show up on time.
You seem like the kind of guy that's like this. But, you know, there's some people that can sort of exude a calm even if you don't have it. And if you're an actor and you're a good actor, hopefully you can cultivate that exude calmness, because nobody's going to yell at somebody that's super nice. They're just not going
to
do it.
And fake it if you have
to. Right. So you go, you know, like, excuse me, you know, hey, can you...
would you mind giving me that cue again?
And I learned real quick to introduce myself to the right people and, like, make a friend before the shot happens so that nobody's up, you know, down my throat, as it were.
And the AD always loves you until
something happens. Yeah. And then, you know, but that something should not be, as an actor, that something should not be your fault.
Right.
That something should be the fault of the pyrotechnics or the DP or the whatever.
I always, you know, my credo in terms of whenever I watch something or whenever I'm looking at something, even if it's bad, I never blame the actor. I'm just like, they just need work. they're just,
well,
you know.
Thank you for that generosity.
And even if it's a movie star, I'm just like, he didn't, he might be miscast, but that's not his fault.
Right.
You know, just he needed work and he took the job.
That's right.
So let me also ask you, in terms of the projects that you've done yourself versus the work that you've done, you know, for other people, most of the stuff that you've produced had been something that you've kind of been part of the team originally, or did somebody hire you as a producer?
It's a little of both, I would say. Okay. I think I started producing other people's quote-unquote passion projects after I did mine.
So, and they saw that you could kind of do it.
Yeah, so I'm a lot of people's second, where when it's my project, I'm the boss.
Right.
When it's their project, they're the boss, and I'm working for them as the producer.
And at this point, you know, you've done this how many times with how many different projects?
Oh, a lot. I own a production company called Felvin, 5LVIN, long story, but it's funny. And we do lots of things together. Also, I own my own, it's called Penny Pants Productions. And then I work for other people's.
So what advice would you give somebody? Say, you know, you're an actor, you have no reel. Maybe you were a stage actor and you're looking to get on film and like nobody's going to hire you because you don't have a reel. And it's like, how do I get a reel if nobody hires me? Well, you generate your own work.
Mm-hmm.
If Jenny now could talk to past Jenny and give yourself advice, what would you say?
Set boundaries. No. Well, maybe I would say that.
Right.
I think the answer is figure out what you want and then figure out how to get it and go get it. I think there's a lot of people that think that there's some magical, you know, wall standing in their way of what they want, especially if they're good at what they do.
You mean, like, so they need permission?
Yeah, they need the outside world to give them, oh, yes, you are definitely a good enough actor / producer to produce a web series that your friends and family are going to fund on Kickstarter. And really, you don't need permission from anybody for that stuff. And I think that's the biggest thing. You know, if you're any good at it, you know, some people aren't any good at it, but if you know that you're one of those people that's pretty good at it, then there's nothing standing in your way other than you.
I was thinking that, you know, like when I was in theater, the two most important words were safety first.
Uh-huh.
The next most important words were like, get over it. Because there's going to be things that happen that you need to get over.
Uh-huh.
And then probably a close third would be figure it out.
I like that one. Figure it out. You know, like,
because there are times, and when I first started doing this, nobody, you know, gave me an instruction book, but it was just like, all right, how do I get this done? There's nobody's going to do it for me. Figure it out. And, you know, hopefully, you know, if you're listening or watching a show like this, this is helping you figure it out. But I think, you know, what you said is key. It's like, no, you don't need permission. What were the things that you discovered while you were doing it for the first time?
I mean, I think that, you know, producing as such for somebody that could recognize the comparison is event planning. So if you're any good at that, if you're good at throwing parties, if you're, you know, good at, you know, keeping track of your own house and handling things that involve more than a handful of people, then you probably will be decent at producing. The difference with producing and event planning as a concept is that if you are the lead producer, or it is your baby, quote unquote, then you are responsible for the aesthetic vision in the end, Whereas with event planners, a lot of them are responsible for aesthetics like wedding planners and things. But a lot of times the event planner doesn't necessarily need to do the aesthetics. You know, maybe they just need to do the organization. And that's the distinction between producing and line producing. So you have to have handle on the money and the art, which is what I think people hit a wall with, is that, you know, a lot of people are art people and a lot of people are money people, and they're, you know, math people and they're organized people. And sometimes people don't think they can do both of those things because they've been told they can't. And again, hearkening back to don't not do something because somebody else tells you you can't, on the flip side of don't wait for somebody to tell you you can. And I see this all the time in my, you know, in totally different world, but, you know, I still do a lot of SAT and ACT tutoring, because you have to make a living. So, and my kids just think they're bad at math because somebody told them they're bad at math. It's kind of the same concept.
I think the other part of it is you have to have the passion for doing it. Like, you have to really want to produce something. And then, you know, and you have to kind of be, as Dustin Hoffman said in Wag the Dog, you have to be a samurai warrior. You know, it really helps, you know, like, yeah. It helps to have that, like, driven, I'm going to get this done. But, you know, that being said, also good to start small, you know. When I talked to Richard LeMay, he started out as a director, producer, and did everything himself. But he started out making features, like, right off the bat. And I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I produced a 20-minute short on 16mm and almost killed me.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, like, I'm convinced my lifespan is shorter because of that project. But, you know, so, like, you know, produce, like, a digital short that you can do in a weekend. Don't kill yourself. Anyway, I think this is good. I hopefully people are listening to this and getting, you know, getting something out of it in terms of, you know, if they want, if the... I do think we are living in, like, a DIY world now, and if you don't do it yourself, no one's going to do it for you. So, and I admire anybody who steps up to producing, honestly, because it is a tough job. And I also imagine that, like, reconciling producing and acting at the same time is also a lot of fun to try to do. Anyway, we're getting to the point where we're running a little short on time, but just... Tell me quickly, do you have any upcoming projects happening?
Yeah. Interesting you ended on the DIY note. So I'm developing a series called Adulting with Jane. And for anybody who doesn't know what adulting means, it's sort of like a newfangled millennial word for being an adult. And it's usually referring to things that, like, you need to do in your everyday life, like sewing buttons or changing tires or parallel parking. It's like, if I successfully sewed a button on, I adulted today. You know, I did something adulty and important. So that's actually the next big project is, as I'm creating a series where Jane, I'm playing Jane, so I am acting in the series. Jane learns how to adult from miscellaneous celebrities. So, you know, for instance, we don't have the separate celebrities lined up for this particular thing, but the idea being is, you know, Jane needs to sew a button. Oh, what's she going to do? She doesn't know how to sew a button. Oh, look, it's Tim Gunn from Project Runway. Hi, Jane. I'm here to teach you how to sew a button. And so it's sort of a informative sort of reality, sort of scripted reality situation, but it's also learning how to do the things that we, you know, that we never learned. My fiance has an aunt who just, you know, I asked around what people thought and, you know, what should you have known how to do by now? And she, you know, change a tire or do my taxes. Or so the idea being is they're actually teaching you how to do the thing that you think you should be able to do as an adult.
Very cool. Very cool. And where can people find you on the web?
Me, I'm jennypaul.info. Com was taken up by a nice married couple named Jenny and Paul. and also IMDb. And you can look for Adulting on Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for taking this trip down the rabbit hole.
Yes.
For more from Behind the Robert Productions, you can go to our website, btrp.nyc. You can also find this audio version on iTunes and Anchor and Pocket Casts and Stitcher and all those places that you listen to podcasts. Also, let us know, find us on social media. If there are any topics that you want to hear us covered about indie filmmaking, content creating, let us know. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.